the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory.
Brothers and sisters, we're now in the forefeast of Holy Theophany, the baptism of Jesus Christ, which, according to the ancient tradition of the Church, follows the 12 days of Christmas. From the earliest tradition, these two feasts were celebrated as one. And here we are in the midst of that celebration. And in this great feast, we remember two great truths: that God was revealed to men as the Holy Trinity, and that Jesus was revealed to men as the Messiah, or the Christ. Where was Christ revealed? Where did his work begin? Did he go to a great city or a great hall to be revealed there as the Lord of glory? Or did he ascend to a high mountain with a crowd of thousands standing below him and looking up at him like a wonder? No, Jesus began by going into the desert, to the River Jordan, where John was baptizing the people, as we read in today's gospel. John preached repentance, calling upon sinners to be baptized in the Jordan as a sign of their repentance. Repentance of giving up sinful ways, of making a pledge to follow God's ways, as laid out in the law and the prophets, and in the heart of every man. Jesus, who has no sin, now comes and makes himself, and himself asks for baptism as a sinner. John was rightly fearful. "You should baptize me, Lord," he says. But Jesus replies, "Let it be so for now, for this is how we should fulfill all righteousness." Adam, brothers and sisters, sinned through pride. He wanted to be exalted, to become like God. He wanted to tell God himself, "I'll do it my way. What makes sense to me, that's how I'm going to proceed." But the Messiah came not to do his own will, but the will of his Father who had sent him. He came to fulfill the righteousness of God and to expiate Adam's pride by his humility. Adam wanted to exalt himself and his own ideas before God. But in response, God himself humbled himself before man. Jesus Christ descended into the waters, receiving baptism from his own servant. John, trembling, placed his hand on his master and his God. As Christ humbly bowed his head before him, Christ's humility unlocked the heavens. For the heavens then opened, and the voice of God the Father was heard, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. This is my Son, who humbled himself in order to accomplish my will. This is my true Son, who lowers himself in order to elevate man." The Holy Spirit also descended upon Jesus, confirming the word of the Father. Thus, by his humility, Christ opened the heavens, revealing to people the mystery of the tri-hypostatic Godhead. Why would God needlessly humble himself in such an undignified manner? Not only entering his creation in a humble cattle trough, but now even placing himself publicly in the position of a sinner. For love. First, for his love for Adam and Eve, and then also for all of his creation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. What did God so love? Not just us, brothers and sisters. John 3:16 says, "The world." Ton kosmon, the whole world, the cosmos, his creation. And why did he reveal the Holy Trinity and himself as the Christ in these waters and not in some other place? Well, to answer that question, let's recall how God created the world. When he first created the heavens and earth, the earth was without form and void, we read in Genesis. But the Spirit of God moved or hovered over the waters. Then God divided the earth from the waters, but in such a way that water still remained everywhere. Water, as we all know, is essential to every kind of life. Neither man nor any kind of animal or plant can live without water. There's water even in the air, the humidity, of course. Pick up a handful of earth from absolutely anywhere, and there will be at least some water there. There's water even in stone. It might seem to us that none is there, but when God so wills it, he can draw it out, as occurred in the time of Moses. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and all that dwell therein. As the psalmist says, he hath founded it upon the seas, and upon the rivers hath he prepared it. Or as the apostle Peter writes, by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and an earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. Of course, he's talking about Noah and the ark. When man sinned, he incurred God's wrath, not only upon himself, but upon all of nature. Man is the crown of God's creation, and he was made nature's king, so to speak. But when this king became the enemy of the great king, his whole kingdom became an enemy kingdom. The penalty was experienced not only by man, but by all creation. We know, as St. Paul writes, that the whole creation has been groaning in travail together until now. But the creation was subjected to futility, he writes, not of its own will, but by the will of him who subjected it in hope. Therefore, there is hope. Forgiveness of the offender frees not only him, but creation itself from the bondage of corruption. This corruptible nature will be destroyed, being transformed into a new heavens and a new earth, wherein righteousness dwells. It was in order to make this transformation possible and to prepare nature for the incorruption that will occur after the dread day that Christ came to the waters of the Jordan. By his immersion in the Jordan, Christ sanctified not only the waters of the Jordan, but the whole nature of the waters themselves. As the church cries out in her hymns, Christ hath appeared in the Jordan to sanctify the waters, and elsewhere, today the nature of the waters is sanctified. Since there's water everywhere, by sanctifying the waters, Christ thereby sanctified all of creation and the whole cosmos, which is the Greek word for universe. Christ prepared nature that it too might experience the good results of the sacrifice that he came to offer. But this was not yet everything, for he also gave to the waters the power to cleanse human sin. John's baptism was one only of repentance. As he said in today's gospel, I baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Christian baptism is a new birth and the forgiveness of all sins. God punished Noah's sins, the sins of Noah's time, not Noah's sins, but the sins of his time, with water, destroying it in a flood of waters. And now God saves people with water in the mystery of holy baptism. Thus, as the church's hymns proclaim, Christ crushed the head of the serpent in the waters of the Jordan. The head of that same serpent that deceived Adam and Eve, but was defeated by the humility of Jesus. He revealed to all that God is Trinity. He sanctified the waters, preparing all creation along with the waters to receive the word of forgiveness and to prepare it for incorruption. Then, after withstanding a battle with the devil in the wilderness, Christ began to prepare the human race for the kingdom to come. And remember that he began his preaching to men with these words, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Or as another gospel puts it, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Until that time, John the Baptist had been preaching repentance, preparing the way for the Lord. Now, the Lord himself cries out to the people, "Repent." This voice is not addressed only to those who lived in Christ's time. Rather, by these words, Christ is addressing all people of every time and of every age. We too have heard these words in the Holy Gospel. So long as the festal hymns of Holy Theophany are proclaimed, they will remind us that the time of repentance has drawn near. Let us be attentive, for these are the words, not of a prophet or even of an angel, but of the Lord himself. Let us, brothers and sisters, repent and strive to conquer our passions, to take on the yoke of humility like our Lord, and to receive remission of our sins, so that in the age to come, while all of creation exults and rejoices, we might not be left out and cast aside, but might enter the imperishable kingdom, even now being prepared by the Lord himself. Amen.